Let us worship the Lord this morning and singing together the hymn 439, the hymn 439. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. Hymn 439, we're standing while we worship the Lord.
Oh.
Just before we bow together in prayer, could I, on behalf of the Kirk session and the congregation, extend our heartfelt sympathy to Mrs. Priscilla Begley and her family on the passing of her dear husband, Sydney, on Wednesday morning. The funeral service for Sydney was held on Friday afternoon, and I want to assure the family of our continued prayers at this difficult time. While we sorrow not as those that have no hope, as he went to be with his Lord and Saviour. Could I also extend our sympathy this morning to Mr. Stanley Beattie and to his family on the passing of his dear wife Heather on Thursday morning. Again, we rejoice that she was a child of God and that she is with her Heavenly Father. The funeral service will be held here in the church on Thursday afternoon at 1 p.m. And again, we assure the family of our thoughts and our prayers at this difficult time. And we encourage you as the congregation to remember these families before the throne of grace in prayer. Let us just bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can say with the hymn writer, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. We thank thee for that day when he sought us and he drew us to Calvary's cross where our sins were washed away. We thank thee that he has brought us into green pastures, and we thank thee that he has provided for us not only physically, but he has also provided for us spiritually. We thank thee that we want for nothing, but thou hast blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We thank thee that thou art a good shepherd, the one who cares for his sheep. And Lord, we do remember these families that mourn at this time. We remember the Begley family and also the Beattie family. Lord's brought into the depths of sorrow with the passing of a loved one. We pray that thou wouldst draw near to both families and that thou wouldst give them that grace and strength that they need day by day. We rejoice that thou hast said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And we pray, Lord, that they might know the sufficiency of divine grace even in these difficult times. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst, even in light of this, that thou wouldst teach us to number our days and to recognize that there is but a step between us and death, and that we might all be ready to stand even before thee. We remember also this morning the Crawford family. We think of this young man so suddenly, tragically called away from life. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with his wife and with the family circle at this time as well. And as we come before thee today, we also remember those who are in hospital. We remember our brother Alan, and we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw near to her, to him, and that you be pleased to continue to raise him to health and strength. We remember also our sister, Mrs. Adair, as well. Lord, we thank thee for even a little encouragement, and we pray continue to touch her in body. And Lord, we commit them to thee. We ask for thy presence this morning. Lord, we're gathered in thy house to worship thy name. We're gathered here this morning seeking a word from thee. We live in a world that's full of sorrow. We live in a world that has been thrown upside down in recent days. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to fix our eyes upon the great sovereign, my our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that thou wouldst, even to that end, teach us through thy word this morning. We ask, Lord, as the scriptures are read, that we would hear thee speaking even to our hearts. So, Lord, be with us now this morning. Pour out thy spirit upon us. For, Lord, we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing the hymn 470, the hymn 470, Thou sweet beloved will of God, my anchor ground, my fortress hill, my spirit's silent fair abode, in thee I hide, and am still. The hymn 470, we're singing four verses of the hymn, Standing to Sing. We're turning in our Bibles this morning and we're coming back to Exodus and to the chapter 28, the book of Exodus, the chapter 28. And in the chapter we have the details concerning the garments which were to be worn by Israel's great high priest. The book of Exodus, the chapter 28, and we're going to break in at the verse 22. Exodus 28 and the verse 22. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches to put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the fore part thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. At this stage of service, I'm going to ask our brother to come and to make the announcements for the incoming week.
Well, a very warm welcome to all who have joined with us this morning, both online and here in the church. And if you're a visitor with us in the church, you're most especially welcome. And we pray that the Lord's presence might be felt here this morning and we may be blessed through the listening to his word. For those who are listening in online, we're glad that you're able to join with us, and pray that the Lord will bless you also as you listen in this morning. Just a few announcements for the incoming week, beginning first of all with our evening service tonight at 7 p.m. That will be preceded by the time of prayer at 6:15, and that will be in the committee room. This evening, the guest speaker will be Mr. Jonathan Eccles, who's a student at the Whitfield College. And we'd ask you to come along and hear our brother tonight and support him as he brings God's word. The midweek meeting will be as normal on Tuesday at 8 p.m. God willing, the Reverend Murray will be the speaker at that meeting. Then on Wednesday, we have the Beeline meeting, again at 7 p.m. All the boys and girls are most welcome to join there for the Beeline meeting on Wednesday. This Friday at 8 p.m., instead of the normal youth fellowship, this Friday the Youth Council Regional Rally will be held here in our church. That service will include a testimony and a solo, and the speaker that night will be our own minister, the Reverend Murray. I would encourage all the young people and others who are interested to come along on Friday for that Youth Council Rally. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday School and the Bible class will be held at 10:30. I do believe I made a mistake last week. I think I said 7:30, but it's 10:30, and the service will be at the usual times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. And in the morning, the Reverend Murray will be continuing with his series of messages about the garments of Israel's high priest. Both of those services are preceded by the time of prayer in the committee room. Just a reminder that next Lord's Day will also be our Audiovisual Fund Sunday, and your continued support for that would be much appreciated. I would just like to acknowledge an anonymous gift of £2,200, which is given towards the work of the church, and that's very much appreciated, and thank you very much to the donor. Just a reminder then that the new Vision magazine, I did advertise one last week, but that was the previous month, so the new Vision magazine is available, and they're sitting at all the exit tables. Do feel free to lift one there. They are free, so do feel free to lift one on your way out this morning. Thank you.
Do thank our brother for making those announcements. Could also just say a word of thanks for those who came along on Tuesday evening. They managed to get 3 broadcasts done. The congregation were there for 2 of them. And we'd like to thank you for giving that evening. And we trust now that you've taken part in it, do remember the service as they will be going up in the months that lie ahead. So do remember the ministry of LTBS. We're going to sing another hymn together, 434. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. The hymn 434, we'll stand while we sing. We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus and to the chapter 28, and we're coming back looking at the garments of the high priest of Israel. And just to remind you again of the various garments worn by the high priest, we're making our way nearly through them all. The linen coat, the blue robe, the ephod, the curious girdle, the onyx stones were set upon his shoulders. There was the breastplate with the 12 stones suspended over his shoulders with chains of gold. And then, of course, on his head was the mitre. We'll come next week to consider the mitre. But we did mention there is another part of the priest, the high priest's garments that's not visible to the eye. And I have to say, one or two of you at least communicated, you found out what it was. And it was the Urim and the Thummim. And you don't see it because you remember last week we talked about the high priest's breastplate and how that it was doubled over. And inside the breastplate, hidden from view, were these two stones. And we have a picture here of them. We're told that they were upon Aaron's heart, and one was black, at least we think it was black. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly, but it's generally believed that the Thummim was black, and then the other stone, the Urim, it was white. But keep in mind that they were set in behind the 12 stones that were on the high priest's breastplate. So that's what we want to think about this morning. But before we turn to it, let's just bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that all scripture is profitable. We thank thee that it's given that we might understand more of thee and understand more even of our duty as believers. And Lord, we ask that as we come even this morning to consider these stones, we recognize that very little is said about them in Scripture, yet the very fact that they're mentioned, they are worthy of our study. And so we ask that as we think upon them this morning, Lord, that thou wouldst teach us by thy Spirit. More than that, that thou wouldst come and that thou wouldst mold even our hearts. So, Lord, to that end, I ask thee for grace. I ask thee for words and wisdom. Be thou my portion, for I pray in thy name and for thy eternal glory. Amen. Amen. The book of Exodus, at chapter 28, we read there in the verse 30, "And thou shalt put on the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart, when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually." In this chapter, we have recorded for us the garments worn by Israel's high priest. Set over the colorful ephod was the breastplate. Being made of fine twined linen, it was adorned with 12 precious stones. And set in a pouch in the back of it were placed a farther two stones. They were known as the Urim and the Thummim. While we're told very little concerning them, it is generally believed that they were similar to each other in size and in structure. The only difference between them was that while the Urim was believed to be white, the Thummim was believed to be black. In the Old Testament times, the high priest, being asked for guidance, he would put his hand into this pouch and he would draw out one of these stones. If it was the Urim, it meant that the answer was positive. If it was the Thummim, then it meant that the answer was negative. In this way, we find the Lord directing David in 1 Samuel chapter 30 to pursue the Amalekites, and in the chapter 23 to go down to Keilah. And as such, the breastplate, fulfilling its name, it was a breastplate of judgment, or as the word means, it was a breastplate of decision. It guided the tribes as to when they should move and when they should not move. More than that, it guided the tribes when they should go to war and when they should not go to war. It directed them in every decision they needed to make. You see, as well as loving his people, the Lord leads his people. He directs their every step. Indeed, speaking of the Pharisees, the Lord said in John chapter 8 and the verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And delivering his people, the Lord does not leave them to wander in the darkness of this world. But in contrast, he guides, he directs their every step. When the great missionary David Livingstone planned to go to China, the Lord stepping in, he stopped him. And instead, he sent him to the land of Africa. When William Carey proposed to go to the South Sea, the Lord instead directed him towards India. You see, if only you come to your great high priest and you wait before him, he will guide you. He will direct your every step. Perhaps this morning as you come to the house of God, there are many decisions pressing upon your heart and upon your mind. You're wondering what you should do in a particular situation. Maybe you've got an offer of a new job and you're wondering, should I take that job or should I not? Perhaps you're contemplating marriage and you're thinking, should I marry this person or should I not? Perhaps the decision is not as major as that. Perhaps the decision seems to be a very small thing. Then I say to you today, don't make that decision on your own. The Lord is our great high priest. He stands ready to guide us, to direct not only the major decisions, but to direct us even in those minor decisions. As he directed the people through these stones, so the Lord longs to direct you this morning. And if you're not to make shipwreck in life, then you need to walk in his way. And so I want to consider these stones. I want you to notice firstly here the wonder of these stones. The use of stones or lots in ancient times was commonplace. Not only do we find the soldiers in the Gospels casting lots for the Savior's garments, but the disciples casting lots in the selecting of a new apostle. But you notice here concerning these stones, their significance. While we're told very little about them, we read in verse 30, "And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim." It's interesting to note that unlike the high priest's garments, they were not commanded to make these stones, but they were simply to put them in the breastplate. Being formed not by man, but being formed by the Lord. The word Urim means light or lights, and the word Thummim means perfection. And as if to emphasize the thought of perfection, these stones are mentioned only 7 times in the whole of the Word of God. Of course, 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection. And as such, these stones being made by the Lord and symbolizing light and perfection and being 2 in number, they speak to us of the Word of God. You see, as the Lord guided his people in the Old Testament by these 2 stones, so the Lord guides us today by the Old and the New Testament. They are lights unto our path. Indeed, recognizing this, the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and the verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And as the lamp drives back the darkness, revealing the pathway that is in front of you, so he was saying that the Word of God would drive back the darkness, revealing the way in which they should walk. In fact, we read again and again in the Word of God, this is the will of God. You see, the Word of God is the will of God. It reveals to us the path that we should walk. Some years ago, there was a man by the name of Goodman. He was deciding to take a journey, and he was wondering whether he should go or not. As he was reading through his daily scripture readings, he came to the Psalm 37. And that morning he read the words, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." His name being Goodman, he took it was a sign. that he should go on that journey. And you know, better than being guided by the Urim and the Thummim, we today are guided by the Word of God. One preacher on one occasion being asked to explain the Urim and the Thummim, he said, well, when I need to know God's will, I get out my Bible and I do a lot of Urim and Thummim through my Bible, and God always speaks to me. And you see, if only you read the Bible carefully and you read the Bible prayerfully, the Bible will direct you. The Bible will guide you as to what you should do. You say, preacher, I'm in a crisis today. I'm at a crossroads in life. I don't know what way I should turn. Then I say to you, turn neither to the right nor turn to the left until you read your Bible. And if only you read the Scriptures, my friend, the Lord will guide you through the Scriptures. Don't be like those who throw open their Bible, and wherever the Bible opens, they take that, read that verse and take it as guidance. That's not how God guides. He guides through His Word as we read it in a structured manner. And as Israel were guided by these stones, so the Lord, if you come to Him, He'll guide you by the old. And He'll guide you by the New Testament. My friend, there are many, many principles here. And if only applied to your life, they'll show you what you should do in every situation. Not only their significance, but notice their situation. Taking these stones, we read in verse 30, and thou shalt put on the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. You notice that these two stones, on like the two onyx stones, were not to be set on the high priest's shoulders. Instead, they were placed upon Aaron's heart. Of course, the heart is the very seat of the affections. It is with the heart that we love. In other words, these stones, or the guidance provided from them, would come not merely from the high priest's mind, but they would come from his heart, which speaks of his love. You see, God guides his people from his heart. It comes from his love. Indeed, many years earlier, news reaching Jacob that his son Simeon had been taken prisoner. We read in Genesis 42, 36, and Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. In providence, the Lord had not only permitted Jacob or Joseph to be taken away, and for Simeon to be imprisoned, but Benjamin now was about to be taken away. And while it seemed that God had forgotten his servant and was now about to bring him down into the grave, in reality, he was, by these events, bringing him to Joseph. He was in love going to reunite them. And while God's will at times may seem to be problematic, it is perfect. It comes from a heart of love. I remember reading about fishermen, and they were out at sea and they were caught in a great and terrible storm. The waves were bashing against the sides of the ship, and it seems as if the ship was going down. They didn't know where west, where east, where north, or where south was. And in that moment, when they thought that the ship was going to sink, they saw a little light on the shore. Having no other hope, they headed for that light. And the light guided them right into the harbor. And as they arrived in the harbor, the captain's wife came running down to the harbor, panic-stricken. And she cried out, something terrible has happened. Our house is burned. It's burned to the ground and we have lost everything. And the husband looked up and he said, it's okay. Had our house not gone up in flames, you would have lost your husband and you would have lost your children. Sometimes we don't understand God's leading. Sometimes it seems as if God doesn't care. Sometimes it seems as if God is bringing us in a wrong direction. But child of God, remember in those dark times, remember in those times when you think there is no hope, that God guides from a heart of love. He has your welfare at heart. And in life, we need to learn to trust Him. Maybe God is leading you today right when you feel strong that you should go left. Maybe He's leading you today into the storms rather than away from the storms. Believer, trust Him. He guides from a heart of love. Trust Him today. Not only their situation, but notice their superiority. In Numbers 27, we read in the verse 18, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him." We're told here that Joshua was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet, despite this fullness of the Spirit, he was commanded then in the verse 27 to come before the high priest. And coming before the high priest, he was to ask counsel of the Urim and the Thummim. You see, the Spirit of God does not do away with the Scriptures of God. He guides, not contrary, but He guides through them. You remember Peter climbing up to the top of the mountain. He beheld the Lord transfigured. He heard the very voice of God. And yet, years later, taking up his pen, he said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." And he reminded them that the Scriptures of God were a far more sure compass than visions or prophecies or any other thing. You see, the Scriptures are an even more sure guide. They stand above with greater authority than any other voice. Charles Haddon Spurgeon on one occasion said, "If an angel came and said, 'Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life,' I would say, 'I'm glad you came, but there was no need. For I have a higher authority that tells me I'm saved, the Bible.'" Sometimes today people say, "Preacher, I don't need my Bible. I am being guided today by the Spirit of God." And sometimes we look at their lives and we see that they're living contrary to the book. You see, the Lord guides by the Scriptures. And the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the book. If you're saying today, "The Lord is guiding me, and what you're doing is different from the Bible," then I have to say that you're wrong, that you have been deceived. You see, believer, if only we come to our great high priest, if only we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will guide us. He will guide us through His precious word. Why is it often God's people are full of confusion? It's because they don't read their Bible. If we read our Bible, we'll know what to do in every given situation in life. You see, the Word of God, it's a map. And if only you follow it, it'll bring you to where you ought to be. Not only the wonder of these stones, but I want you to look at the workings of these stones. While placed in the breastplate, yet in order to be guided, you notice here that they needed to be surrendered. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 33 in the verses 8 and 9. He said, "Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, who said unto his father and to his mother, 'I have not seen him,' neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children." These words take us back into the howling wastes of the wilderness. On that occasion, the people falling down and worshiping by the golden calf, Moses commanded the sons of Levi to slay those who fell before it. And going forth, they were to slay not only the stranger, but on many occasions, they were to slay their own fathers, their own mothers, their own brothers, their own sisters. And surrendering to and doing the will of God, he said that the Urim and the Thummim would then be with their Holy One. In other words, they would guide them. You see, before there can be a discovering of the will of God, there must be a surrendering to the will of God, a willingness to go anywhere and do whatever he may ask. Indeed, the psalmist said in Psalm 25 in the verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The word meek here indicates a humble or a submissive spirit. And being willing to be led by God, he then said that the Lord would lead them. You see, until we are surrendered to his will, we will never discover his word. There'll be no guidance. A young believer on one occasion came to our pastor asking his help and guidance. She wanted to know, should she marry her boyfriend? The first thing the pastor asked her was, is he a Christian? She said he doesn't go to church or read his Bible or pray, but he is a wonderful Christian. And pointing out that if he did none of those things, he wasn't a Christian, then she shouldn't marry him. She was mad. And she went out and slammed the door behind her. You see, she wasn't willing to be guided. She was coming that day wanting the pastor or the minister simply to pat her on the back and say, go on and do whatever you want to do. In contrast, Dr. Stephen Alford used to pray, dear God, anywhere, anytime, any cost. And you see, until we are willing in our lives to go anywhere, to do anything, and to be willing to pay any cost, the Lord will not guide us. How many come to the Bible for guidance, but they come with their minds made up? They search the scripture, and when God speaks to their heart, they just dismiss it. And they say, I go on my own way and I do my own thing. If you're to be guided, you need to be surrendered. Not only did they need to be surrendered, they needed to be saintly. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, we find the Philistines there coming up against the children of Israel. King Saul, wondering what he should do, he sent for the ephod, or he sent for the Urim and the Thummim. And inquiring of the Lord, we read in verse 6, the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And having earlier rebelled against the Lord, and having taken an office that did not belong unto him, and refusing to slay the king of the Amalekites, the Lord refused to guide him by means of the Urim and the Thummim. You see, where there is sin in our lives, there will be silence. The Lord reveals his will, but he reveals it to those who are obedient. Indeed, the men of Solomon's day, refusing to take heed to the word of God and walk in its ways, the Lord said in Proverbs 1:28, they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. He refused to hear, to guide. You see, without holiness of life, we will be without help. The Lord will not guide us through His Word. You see, if you're living in willful disobedience to the Lord, it doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how many hours you spend reading the Word of God, you will get no guidance. Maybe God has spoken to you in the past. Maybe there was a time when you sought the Word of God and you read the Scriptures and the Lord guided you very clearly as to what you should do and the way you should go, but it wasn't pleasing to you. And you said, I go my own way, I do my own thing. And now you are in a different situation, a bad situation, a situation of your own making. And you've come to God and you've asked God, Lord, guide me as to what to do. My friend, the book will be silent. The book will be silent. You see, there needs to be a dealing with sin. If we're to be guided, if there's rebellion in your heart, there's rebellion in your life, you need to repent of that. And here, my Saul, having gone his own way, the Urim and the Thummim, refused to guide him. You see, they needed to be saintly, but more than that, they needed to be supplicators. How did they find out the will of God? Well, it was simple. They came to the high priest. And coming before the high priest, they asked him. They asked him, what should I do in this given situation? For example, we read concerning David in 1 Samuel 23 in the verse 2. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. You see, God reveals His will, but only when He is asked. Unless we seek, we will never find. How often people say, preacher, God is silent in my life. I don't know what way to go. But the reality is they never asked. And if you want guidance, then you need to come to your high priest. And you need to fall before him with my submission of heart, having dealt with rebellion in your heart. And you need to ask him. And I tell you, if only you do that, then as Israel were guided by these stones, so the Lord will guide you. He'll guide you. Not only the workings of these stones, but there was the wisdom of these stones. Notice its scope. Speaking to Moses, the Lord said in Numbers 27, 21, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim. Before the Lord, at his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in. You see, these stones were given not only to guide them in their goings out, but also in their comings in. In other words, they were given to guide every part of their lives. You see, not a segment, but the sum, S-U-M, of our lives are to be guided by the Word of God. It is to be our compass, not only in spiritual matters, but also even in material matters. It's to be our guide, not only on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and in Saturday. It is to guide us not just in those major decisions as to my career, my marriage, my where I live, but is to guide every part of our lives. And I wonder, child of God, are you willing to be guided in every part? Not just your goings out, but your comings in. To be subject in every part to the will of God. Not only its scope, but we notice its seclusion. Although mentioned seven times in Scripture, we're given very, very little details concerning these stones as to exactly how they worked. They are shrouded in mystery. And like these stones, the will of God at times is shrouded in mystery. It's often beyond our understanding. The hymn writer, recognizing that, taking up his pen, wrote, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. You see, God's heavenly will does not always make earthly sense. Maybe God has been guiding you, and God has been guiding you, and to you that seems the wrong way. It seems the way to trouble rather than out of trouble. But believer, it's not ours to question God's will. It's ours simply to submit and to obey. And I wonder, in those dark times in life when you can't understand God's workings and you can't understand God's way, are you willing to walk by faith and to say, Lord, I can't understand why, but if you say go, I'll go. If you say stop, I'll stop. If you say turn to the right, I'll turn to the right. If left, then I'll turn to the left. Then also notice there its source, verse 30, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. They were to be put behind the 12 stones on the breastplate. And as such, being set over the high priest's heart, surely he was indicating here that it would be as they would come to the heart of their great high priest, that he would guide them. You see, guidance depends upon relationship. It is as we come close to our great high priest's heart that he guides us. The hymn writer said, nearer still, nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me, close to thy breast. It is as we come to his heart, come close to his heart, that he guides us. While your heart is cold, while your heart is at a distance, while you're walking afar off, you can't experience his guidance. You need to come close to his heart. We think of John, the beloved disciple. He leaned upon the Savior's bosom. And child of God, if you're going to be guided, then you need to be a John. You need to lean. You need to lean upon your Savior's breast. You need, as it were, to hear his heartbeat. It is as we draw close to him that he guides us. He was their great high priest. He was praying for them. But more than that, by these stones, he guided them. He guided them. And God has a plan for your life. And if you're to know his blessing, then you need to know his guidance. And you need to walk in his way. Oh, believer, today, are you willing to be guided? Are you willing today, as the Israelite would come to the high priest with his problem, with his difficulty, and the high priest would put his hand in behind the breastplate and bring out a stone, revealing what he should do. Are you willing today to come with that matter to your great high priest? And are you willing to do whatever he tells you to do? And could I say, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, what's the will of God for you? It is that you be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. It is his will that you be saved, that you trust him. Oh, today come to his heart and you'll find forgiveness. You'll find salvation. May we be willing to come to him and in every situation, to seek guidance. We're going to close our service by singing together the words of the hymn 440. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford, teach me thy way. 440, we're standing singing three verses of the hymn. Our gracious God, we thank Thee that there is no unwillingness on Thy part, that Thou art always willing to teach us Thy way. But we cry to Thee, O Lord, give us submissive hearts. Help us, Lord, not to depend upon our logic, and then, having gone through a mess and trouble, to seek Thee. But help us, Lord, in every turning, no matter how great or small, to seek Thy mind. And we pray that Thou wouldst help us to do Thy perfect will. Part us even now with Thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us, Lord, throughout this day. For in the Saviour's name we pray. Amen.